God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. When I was 4 years old, my dad and mom took me to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. The only reason I remember it is because of something that happened that day. I vaguely remember being in what I feel like was a large room. Of course, everything is bigger when you're 4 years old, but I feel like we were in a large room with maybe a vaulted ceiling. I may be wrong about all this, but there was a man across the room some distance, and he was a very short man. Now, I'm short, but this guy was really extraordinarily short. And I thought, wow, he's about my size. And I thought to myself, you know, my mom probably hasn't noticed this gentleman. And so I cupped my hands to my mouth and I said about as loud as I could, "Hey, mommy, look at the baby man." Well, I remember that because that was not the thing to say, quite obviously. But in my mind, I didn't know what an oxymoron was, I suppose, but I knew that how could you be a man and a baby at the same time? Well, of course you do, because haven't you met someone in their 50s who still thought like they were 10 years old, or someone who was in their 50s who socially had no maturity, or someone who was in their 50s who'd been saved and knew the Lord for 30 years, but had not gained any traction, had not gained any ground at all. They were still immature, spiritually speaking. You know, sometimes we talk about adulting. Well, the fact is, it's time to grow up. Now, if you're 15, you don't need to act and dress and think like you're 50. That's kind of off-putting. And if you're 50, you don't need to be cool and hip and act like you're 20. That's ridiculous. No, the point is not how big you are. The point is how much progress you've made since, say, this time last year. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So grow up. You know, 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." So growing is very obviously connected to the Word of God and our ingesting of it. When the Bible says grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I don't think it just means know about Him, obviously. I know Bill Rice and I know Mr. Joseph Biden. One is my dad, one is my president. I know my dad in the sense that I know him and I am known of him. I know about Mr. Biden, but quite frankly, he knows nothing about me and probably never will. So what we're talking about here is not just knowing about the Lord Jesus, but knowing Him and growing, pardon me, growing in that knowledge and in that grace. Now, what actions would be found in a person growing, or would result in a person's growing spiritually? Well, chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance," verse 2, "that ye may be mindful," verse 3, "knowing this first." So, you know, the Bible talks in 1 Peter and 2 Peter a lot about remembering and knowing the truth, knowing the Word of God. And so I'm to remember, being mindful. In other words, it's not just that I know it, but I'm aware that I know it. I know that I know it. It's not just somewhere in the back of my mind. I'm holding it in front of my face. I can see it. I'm mindful of it, knowing. Verse 17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked." So I can know something, but if I forget it, I can be led away with falsehood. You know, sometimes we're given a job to do and we don't want to do it. And someone comes back and says, "Hey, I thought you were supposed to be doing thus and so." And we say, "Oh, I forgot." Well, we forgot not because of a lack of mental, you know, capacity or strength, but because we had no desire for the thing. So remember, review. That's the point. Grow up. Remember what you know. Second of all, I think we should accept what we know. Verse 5 says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of." He's talking about future times. And there were those who did not know about the future because they were not willing to act on what was right in the present. So willingly or ignorant. You know, in English, ignore is baked into the word ignorant, which is to say many times we don't know because we don't pay attention to. I'm ignorant of something because I'm ignoring it. I'm not paying attention to it. I'm disregarding it. I'm giving it no heed, no mind, whatever. In the Bible, ignorant just means to be hidden. But here, there are two words put together, which again, give you the same idea. This, they willingly are ignorant of. They don't know, and they don't know willfully. They don't know because they don't want to know. In contrast, verse 8 says, but ye, beloved, be not ignorant. So he's talking about things future, and he's saying, don't be in the dark. You've got to accept what it is you know. A lot of times we know more than we think we do. It's just that we don't want to acknowledge that we know things that will obligate us to take action. When I was a kid, I would often ask my dad a question to which he would reply, well, do you really want to know? And what he meant by that was, if you're just making conversation, let's talk about something else. If you really want to know, hold on. It's going to take a few minutes, but I'm going to explain this to you. So review, accept, and then I would say apply. In verse 11, the Bible says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto, verse 14, seeing that you look for such things. All this means, if I know what is true, I need to apply it. Were you ever given something by your mom at supper time that you did not wish to eat? Maybe you were given peas and you didn't want to eat your peas. And so at the end of the meal, the peas were gone. They disappeared. But when your mom poured the half inch of milk out of the bottom of your glass, out fell 25 peas. You weren't ingesting them. You weren't applying them. You had accepted them. They were on your plate. You saw them. They were right in front of your face, but you didn't want to act on them. And you didn't want them to act on you. So grow up. Remember, accept, apply. The Bible says we're to be people of holy conversation, that is, we're separated to God in the way we live, and godliness. Would your wife, would your kids, would your parents, would your spouse, would your coworkers, would they say of you, you're a godly person? Not merely are you pious, and not are you great, you accomplish much, but are you godly? See, that's what we're to be. We're to be godly, not perfect, but a sincere heart towards God. We're to live on the promises that God has given, being people of courage. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Look, there's a future coming. I need to live on the promises of God. I need to live in peace, that we may be found of him. Verse 14, in peace, without spot, and blameless. Am I blameless? Am I at peace? Am I godly? Am I living a life separated to the Lord? Am I living with courage on the promises God gave? It is a wonderful thing when a child is born. It is a precious thing to see a baby. But it is normal and natural and right for every baby to grow into maturity. And so today, you and I, we should grow up remembering what we've been taught, accepting what we've been taught, and applying what we've been taught from the authority of God's Word.